You are listening to Justice Radio on WMPG. This is the monthly Youth Justice segment with the Young People's Caucus and your hosts, Swathi and Liv. And today you will be hearing a conversation recorded at Youth Led Justice in Lewiston with one of Lewiston's youth, Vic, and Nicole LeMay, director of YLJ. Youth Led Justice, or YLJ, uses restorative justice and youth-led programming to support young people navigating systems involvement. Through mentorship, restorative practices, and community connection, they envision a community where all youth are valued, supported, and empowered. They envision youth belonging to a resilient community that equitably navigates conflict so all can heal, grow, and connect. Today, we'll be exploring topics centered around youth needs in Lewiston, Maine. Vic will give us some recommendations for solutions to problems that he feels are present in the community. He also speaks directly to other youth and offers advice to, quote, stay out of trouble, end quote. Later on, we will hear a segment of a speech Nicole LeMay offered at a public forum where she defends Lewiston youth amidst recent polarizing rhetoric around gun violence and urges adults to lead with compassion. Okay, so just tell us a bit about who you are, what you're into, what your name is, and where you come from.
My name is Vic, and I'm from Direct.
I'm trying to change my life and be a boxer and focus on what's better in life, not something that can lead me to a bad path. Yeah.
Great. And how did we get connected today? What's your connection to Youth Led Justice? Tell us about your time that you spend with Coco.
Me and Coco are working on getting back into school.
Great.
So, yeah, like what does that look like, getting back into school? Like
doing good, showing people that you have changed, not just telling people, showing it. Mm-hmm. And working on yourself, not worrying about what people think. Yeah.
Mm. Almost like being in community, like really showing up.
Yeah.
In a way that you can hold accountability with other people and just do things different.
Yeah, get a job, help your families out, and stay out of trouble, and put the guns down.
Sweet.
And put the gloves on.
Yeah, the boxing gloves.
Yeah.
What do you want to do with boxing? It's the dream. Make it big, or make it, like, sustainable?
Just to get stronger. Mm-hmm. And see where I can go with it.
So it's, like, your own journey.
Yeah.
Cool. What do you think the Lewiston community needs most?
Opportunities. And kids need to find hobbies, and I feel like the people that run Lewiston should give them opportunities to do stuff that they want to do. And I feel like they don't have that, like, you know, the opportunity. So I think they just need programs and places where they can go to stay out of trouble.
So, like, almost.
And then they need leaders, too.
Okay.
People to support them.
Cool. Yeah. What do we need to make that happen?
First, y'all need to make more programs, like, try to, like, go ask the youth what do they want to do in life. What will make them happy. Mm-hmm. And I have to try to make something that can work for the youth, you know.
Okay. Yeah, so if we could get the leaders of Lewiston to maybe get all the youth in a room.
Yeah.
And ask the youth, what do you want to see in your community? What are some programs you think that the youth would say they want?
It really depends. It depends on what. It can be girls or boys, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Girls and boys like different things. So maybe more like boxing or workout clubs. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. So health, wellness.
Yeah, health and wellness. And more pools, I think.
Yeah.
Like when it's summer, kids can go outside and play in the pools. And yeah.
What do you think about skate parks?
Skate parks?
Yeah, do you skate?
Not really, but for kids who like to skate, there's already a skate park at KP, so.
Okay.
It doesn't really matter. And I don't think people really care for that. I think they just need a place for it to go and just need food, like a program where there's food, activities, and just good people. People that support you and people that want you to do better.
Cool. So it sounds like all these programs really are built to, you know, keep kids out of trouble. How are you? You asked this question earlier. How are you staying out of trouble? And what advice or recommendations do you have for
focusing? Focusing on myself. And not worrying about what people care about, or like what they think of you. Because when you worry about what people think of you, you're gonna try to improve yourself. So just don't care about that. Do you. And what I'm gonna say is mind your business. don't get into people's problems or anything, and you're going to succeed.
So you're talking about boxing.
Mm-hmm.
What is the mental, like, where are you trying to get in your mental process with boxing? Do you want it to help you focus in?
I think working out, I think when your body's healthy, your mindset's healthy.
Okay.
So that's why I really want to do it, because, like, smoking and all that stuff, right? Like, once you do that, right, you feel lazy, you feel tired and stuff like that. I think me, personally, I just need something that can restart my whole body, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And just, you know, be healthy again and be able to run again, work out, get stronger, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, it's something to, like, turn to.
Yeah.
Like, I do yoga, and I have a lot of moments where I'm, like, totally distraught. I'm just, like, in a hole, and there are moments where the only thing I know what to do is to, like, go to the yoga studio.
Yeah.
Or, like, get on my mat and, like, do something.
Something
and
peaceful that resets your mind, yeah.
It's a that's total what I'm reset. Talking about. Yeah.
And that's, like, anybody, like, whatever works for you to make you happy and reset your mind, do that.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of being in the streets and trying to prove yourself.
So, in this podcast, we think a lot about systems. And there's different ways of defining a system, but, like, a system basically is, like, a machine.
Mm-hmm.
If you think of it as, like, a bunch of gears working together to make a bigger thing work.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, like, different systems. So there's, like, the school system, the court system, a community system, nonprofits, the criminal legal system, let's see, education system. If you could have impact on one system, maybe a family system, a system of friends. If
you need a system for the community to get along.
Mm-hmm.
So the kids need to get along. And I feel like Lewiston would be a better place if we all got along, you know, because the shootings and everything like that, it's about beef. So we just need everybody to get along. And I think Lewiston would be healthy, you know.
Great.
So it's like, it's about the kids to get along, not nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
The community, yeah.
So you called this podcast Risky Road. What is a risky road to you, and how does it apply to the way that youth stay out of trouble or adults make young people feel seen?
Because it's risky, you know what I mean? Because if we don't control the youth now, what's going to happen in like 2 years, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There might be more dead people on the streets or more people locked up, so it's risky.
Mm-hmm. Where we're at right now is risky.
Yeah.
So we gotta, like, pivot.
Yeah.
We gotta get off this risky road.
Mm-hmm.
And we gotta, you know, set it on a new lane.
Yeah.
And how do we do that? Like, what's the first step of redirection?
Like, how to help the kids?
Yeah. For, like, number one step, something someone should do next week.
More programs.
All right. Should they
more
listen?
More help.
Okay.
More people. And, yeah. And more, like, clothes for kids and stuff like that. Make them confident, you know what I mean? So they can be able to go outside and do what they love. Just more opportunities in, like, just toothbrushes, clothes, and everything like that to help the kids out. Because you never know what they're going through. The families might not have enough money to support them, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
All right, y'all. So you heard it here first. First step off of a risky road's basic needs, making youth feel seen, and programming.
Yep.
What do you wish adults knew about your generation?
So I just wish they could know why kids are bad. It's because kids need, like, they want to fit in. They want to, like, be with a group. It's all about fitting in. It's not about they're bad. It's about just trying to look cool. So I just think kids need to know that they don't need to look cool for people. They just need to look cool for themselves. And I just think they need to understand that being a bad kid is not good. It just leads you into, like, worse situations. It leads you into darkness. And adults need to understand that, because they think we're bad, but you never know what's going on in somebody's life. They might be trying to fit in or trying to, you know, just improve themselves to other kids. So that's what they need to understand, yeah.
Has an adult ever said you were bad to you?
Yeah.
They have?
They said that, but they don't know what I'm going through.
Right. So do you think it's helpful, like, for me when I work with kids or youth, young people, any of them? It's like, I like to get nosy, mm-hmm. and ask all about what's going on in your life, and you know that, right?
Yeah.
So what do you think are some things that lead to kids' actions?
Like I said, it's to fit in.
To fit in?
Yeah.
Well, and then it's like when adults are saying, like, you're either bad or you're good, like, that's a judgment.
Yeah.
And any sort of judgment that you put on youth is going to make it harder for them to fit in.
And we've talked about this, right?
Yeah.
We feel like the community is judging us.
Yeah, the community is judging us and making us feel like we're bad, so we're going to keep being bad.
That's
and once they
I'm
start
going.
Treating us like we're good, maybe we might change too.
Yeah.
We got to build them up more.
Yeah, it makes more sense to help. But don't judge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's one thing that an older person has done to make you feel better about yourself? Like, is there any time in
your
life?
Told me that I'm worth it, and I don't gotta do what I gotta do. Like, I gotta just be myself, and I'll fit in.
Yeah.
Like, you just gotta be yourself, and you'll fit in. You can fit in any group.
Yeah.
There's people out there that like what you like and want what you want, so you can always fit in.
Yeah, love it.
Are there ways that, like, adults can build tools or build opportunities for youth to be able to see that they have to just be themselves? Or do adults just need to step out of the way?
No, adults need to be there always. They don't got to step out the way, but they just need to help. Like, show that they care. Mm-hmm. And I just make it seem like I'm trying to help you, like, you're bad in this. The kids gotta see that you care for them to actually want to try.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and kids can see through adults. Like, they can see what you're thinking, or if you think they're bad or good. You know what I mean? So it's not gonna work on kids.
Is there a story of a time that you felt that an adult, like, truly showed up for you in a way that felt impactful on your life?
Yeah.
Will you tell us?
I'm not gonna say a name, but this lady, girl, is really helping me. Clothes, food, everything. It's really what you, like, if you give me something and you help me with food and clothes and everything like that, it just shows you care.
Mm-hmm.
Like, once you help out somebody, it just shows you care. You can't tell them and not help them out or give them, like, you gotta give them needs for them to see. Like, that's how kids work. Like, you gotta give them something for them to be like, oh, she really cares. She just gave me what I want. Stuff like that.
Like, if your needs aren't met, that affects
it. Yeah, like, you don't give a damn about me, you can't even do this for me.
Like, if I'm trying to study or trying to go to work and I'm hungry, do you think I would be able to succeed? Or if I didn't have, like, enough clothes to go to school with or enough food.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You need it.
Your needs are met, so you're going to do better.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
Love it.
You're listening to Justice Radio with Liv, Vic, and Nicole. Now back to our conversation with Vic at Youth Led Justice. After that, we'll hear a segment from Nicole LeMay, who recently spoke at a public event to urge people to consider how we, as adults, can better support youth as a community.
Is there a way that you can picture yourself doing the same thing in, like, either in a month or a year or 3 years or 5 years? Like, how do you want to take what you've received from this one adult who made an impact? How do you want to send it back out to the community or to a young person in the future?
So say I'm older, right? And I got my stuff going on. I have a little bit of money, right? I like to help out sometimes. Like, I'll walk around sometimes. Sometimes I give out money too.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I give out homeless food and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So if I was older and I had money, I would give out and show people that I really care too.
Mm-hmm.
Cause you never know what somebody's going through. So you gotta make their day.
Mm-hmm. An act of kindness goes a long way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And God will give it back to you too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that would make you a leader in the community, too, because you'd be building so many relationships.
Yeah.
You'd be able to, like, really have impact because people would trust you and know that you're there for them.
Yeah.
Do you have a question for adults?
For adults?
Yeah.
How can you guys tell if a kid is struggling or not?
Like, how do you guys see if, like, a kid is struggling? How can you just look at a kid and be like, oh, he's definitely struggling and he needs help?
When I see a kid struggling, it's when they are struggling to thrive in the places they belong. Like, kids belong in school, right? And if a kid is struggling to just get by in school, that to me says, hey, I need a little bit more support. And the reason I know that is because I was a kid that really struggled in school. So I kind of take my own experience and be like, okay, that was me when I was that age. Or I just needed one person to listen to me. I just needed one person to believe in me.
That's what I'm saying. They need for somebody to be there for them.
One person to believe in you can make the difference.
Yeah,
right?
It can make a difference.
What about you, Liv?
I think a lot about myself when I was younger, and I was pretty, like, riddled with anxiety, and, you know, all that comes from a certain place. But I think when I see young people, like, not showing up like themselves, like what you're saying, and feeling almost like they have to wear a mask, or they have to, like, constrain themselves to a certain version of themselves to do the fitting in, like making themselves smaller, or even just not showing up, I think that that's when I know that maybe someone's struggling either with confidence or, like, being comfortable in their body, or even, like, that there's just so much stuff going on for them and, like, their nervous system that they're just overstimulated and they, like, can't get, they can't, like, dip into a moment to, like, be present. Like, that's really hard to do when, like, the world's coming at you in 1,000 different directions. So, yeah,
I feel that.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being a kid, right? And,
like, I had trouble learning in school. Like, I remember, and I was getting by enough, but I remember the extra attention that my friends got that excelled in different things. And I remember thinking, like, I wish I could have that, and I never did. Mm-hmm. And then what really hurt me academically was I was, like, in eighth grade, and a teacher, I said I wanted to be a veterinarian. And the teacher told me to be more realistic. And what's crazy is I had animals, like I had horses, cats, I had all the animals, and I was very good with them. I was very good at training and all this stuff. So that moment changed my trajectory of, like, what I expected out of myself until I was much older in life.
Because you didn't believe that it was possible because an adult was telling you who you trust. You're like, oh, you must know how the world works because you're an adult. So if you're saying I can't, then I won't.
You told me I'm not smart enough, so I'm not going to ever try to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, one, you know, adults just need to breathe hope into our young people.
Great. Well, do you have any final words that you want to say to the younger people who might be out there listening, or to the adults that might be listening?
Stay out of trouble. It's not worth it.
Cool. Well, thank you for being on the episode today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Now, let's hear a segment from Nicole LeMay, who recently spoke at a public event to urge people to consider how we can better support youth as a community. Nicole offers a grounding set of questions for adults to consider when they want to place blame for unrest on the shoulders of young people in Lewiston. She invites us to dream of how we want to show up in the community to live in the solution. This speech was given at a local event where one group of people tried to understand a problem but tended to lean towards blame. Nicole's words took us out of that polarizing world and invited people to lead with more curiosity and compassion.
Yeah, so my name's Nicole. I live in Lewiston. I work deeply in this community and have for the past 3 years. I'm a person with lived experience. You guys can all Google me later. But I ask for a little bit of grace. Because, yeah, this is a difficult subject, and I'm not here to pick a side, as you might say. I am going to ask you to participate if you feel comfortable. If not, just disregard. You know, if anybody wants to close their eyes, I'm going to ask you to think of a person who never lost hope in you. What did that person do that made the difference? What supports did you need? Any difficult times in your life that you really needed another person? How did your community or family show up for you? Where did you go to be with people or to get help? What type of accountability worked, right? Like, accountability, that's a word that keeps coming up, and I believe in that. And a lot of these you know, concerns, and the words that I'm hearing are hope, accountability, help. What does help look like for young children, right? Like, yeah, there's a problem, right? And just to run through a quick timeline of, you know, I've worked in this town since, in the city since 2023. I've been around since 2021 working in the social justice field in different ways. First, there was COVID, right? So we have children that are unable to go to school. Where's the belonging, right? Where can they go and get programming and get support or even interaction with others? So, that you know, these boys are like 8 to 10 years old at this time. So I know that 8 to 10-year-olds, they need a lot of help. They need something, right? They can't be sitting at home and playing video games and expected to watch a teacher on a virtual screen. The stress of all of that, the stress of not having enough food in the home, like these are issues. Like some might not work directly with these children. And these are issues that I see daily. Sweating to the 80s with Richard up here. Then we had the Lewiston shooting, right? Who remembers where they were? Yep. I was right on Park Street, and I was working at a recovery program, and we were having a house meeting. And I remember the fear that I felt. And I didn't live in this town at the time. I lived in Sebattis. I ran a woman's recovery program. And I had 8 women dressed in black with holding steak knives, thinking that if the person came, they were going to protect themselves. So that fear, imagine what this community felt, right? It's a community as a whole. It's not just the kids. It's everybody. And now you got May 2026. And this is not a new problem. These kids have been playing with weapons, right? These are adult issues that are passed down to youth. People are not locking their vehicles. If you have a $100,000 vehicle, why are you not locking it? And I'm not placing the blame, but everybody has a role in this problem. You know, and these kids are just washed up in the system. And I'm saying, like, where is the money going that was meant to support them? Like, we all talk about the Lewiston funds, right? The money wasn't spent on these kids. It wasn't spent on, the right way in a lot of ways. Not everybody. There was not all bad actors, but there was a lot. These kids do not have emotional regulation. Oh, they're all idiots right now, all right? And I work with some of these craziness. I work with them, right? So today, my day was spent. I met with the CDC today. I'm talking about living in the solution, right? How do you all want to show up for the kids? How do you want to show up for each other, for your communities? You have grandkids, siblings, school systems, or teachers. I don't think the answer is to put them down. They're not dogs, right? And I do take that comment personally, and I'm sorry for addressing it, but I think that was a very harsh comment. Like, these aren't animals. We don't put people down. How do you show up for your community? Today I met with the CDC to talk about violence interruption. Who's boots on the ground out here? Who is doing the work? And I'm calling on everybody to invest in our youth, invest in the communities. Everybody wants to complain, but there's not a lot of people doing anything. You might see me around with a car full of kids of color. And we'll be playing. I got my top down. Cruising. And you know what? Like, sometimes that's what support looks like. Yeah, fund the programs, invest in them. Don't lose hope. And narratives matter. We tell kids that they're monsters. They're going to start believing it. So today, the way I live in the solution is I started my morning with a meeting with the CDC to talk about this stuff, right? And then I met with an organization from California, right, that is doing this type of work, that are educated too. So I'm calling people in. If you want solutions, go to the people that know what they're doing. Don't look to the people that know how to complain about it. Call me. I'm there. All right. And accountability logic runs up, guys. Police, if you can do anything, just tell folks, like, stop reporting your guns missing if you're leaving your vehicle unlocked. Like, do something about it, right? All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to our conversation with Vic, a Lewiston youth, and Nicole LeMay, Director of Youth-Led Justice in Lewiston. Nicole's questions at the beginning of that last segment really stick out to me as grounding considerations that adults need to sit with when conflict arises in the community, especially when youth are involved. These questions remind me a lot of the principles of transformative justice, which is a framework for responding to violence, harm, and abuse that does not reinforce oppressive norms or vigilantism. Transformative justice actively cultivates the things we know prevent violence, such as healing, accountability, resilience, and safety. Thank you to Blue Light Academy for that definition. Although this episode was a little different, I hope you were able to pick up on a theme from the urges of Vic and Nicole, who spoke to us about the importance of making more programming for youth so they feel like they have a place to go or can find a sense of belonging in a way that works towards their well-being and wraparound support. Vic urged for a new system to be created, a system for the community to get along. I find this so interesting because rather than operating in the negative space of eradicating a problem, this vision for a new system that lives in the solution, to put it in the words of Nicole LeMay, is a different approach to a problem. A system for community belonging and purpose could mean many things, but I wonder what comes to your mind when you first sit with this idea or this new dream. How can we dream of new types of programming for youth and communities? Who builds them? Who holds them? What kind of difference do they make? What supports do they offer? Where does it live? How does it help? And who is involved? Transformative justice states that solutions for wicked problems cannot be found in the systems that already exist. So I wonder what new ways of being do we need to find so ideas like Vic's can find a place to live within our communities. There's a lot of rhetoric going around right now about the gun violence and youth patterns of incarceration that are present in Lewiston, Maine. But our hope is that this episode of the podcast will be a resource to any adults in the decision-making world, so they can hear directly from a young person about what they want and need. If these or other things are sticking with you, we invite you to continue these kinds of conversations through our Instagram at YPC Maine. We're an amazing group of youth leaders post about policy, culture, and opportunities in change-making spaces. Please feel free to DM us with suggestions for what you would like to hear on this podcast, or if you would like to join us for a conversation. And finally, a big thank you to Samuel James for his gift of music that opens and closes each episode in our series. Have a good day.